You are listening to Dishin' and Swishin', the world of women's hoops, on hoopfeed.com.
Hey everybody, it's David Siegel welcoming you to this week's Dishin' and Swishin' podcast on Hoopfeed, and it's just about time for WNBA camps to kick off. They open up next week, and there is a young woman on this phone with me right now that is endured a great deal to get to this point and has to be just thrilled to death to get her shot at camp. Jackie Jamelis will be going to the Minnesota Lynx training camp very soon. Jackie, how are you today?
I'm fine, thanks. How are you?
I'm doing great. So you must have thought that this day wasn't going to come. It's been such a while.
Yeah, absolutely. It's been, a very, very long time, but the time's finally here now, and I'm really excited to go. I actually leave today to Minnesota. I'm just really excited to get there and meet everybody and start camp on Sunday.
Well, let's talk for a second, first of all, for anybody that doesn't know. Just tell everybody quickly, recap your story about how many ACLs this has been now.
I've torn my ACL 5 times. I've had 6 surgeries. I've done 3 on my left and then 2 on my right. I did my last one December 19th of 2011 at Texas A&M. And this one was the last game of my senior year in high school. So I'm like a year and 3 months out from my last surgery. So I'm doing really well and, in shape and ready to go for camp.
Well, it happened, unfortunately, this last one, towards the end of the season, as you said, in December 2011. But that didn't stop the Lynx from having enough confidence in your ability to recover and your recuperative prowess to take you in last year's draft. So, that must have been a great feeling in its own right.
Yeah, that was a dream come true. And, I'm so happy that the Lynx took a chance on me and believed in me and helping them, this season. So I'm really excited to get out there, like I keep saying, and I just can't wait to start and, hopefully make my dreams come true here in a couple weeks.
Now, last WNBA season, did you have a lot of interaction with the franchise still? I mean, I know obviously you weren't under contract, but they had your draft rights, and it was obvious that they had some serious interest in your future.
Yeah. I was fortunate enough, since I was living in Los Angeles, I was able to see them play against the Sparks when they played, in LA. So I was able to go in the locker room and stuff after the game and talk to Coach Reeves and talk to the assistants and stuff. So that was really awesome. And, I was able to talk a little bit throughout their season, not a ton because they were focused and they were, focused on winning another championship. I was able to talk, and I have some friends on the team, which is really nice. I was definitely in contact, definitely keeping up to date with them and watching many of their games as I could that were televised and whatnot. So
now we know that they had a tough ending to the season last year.
Indiana
taking them down, but it was still a tremendous year. And there's one downside to joining a team that makes it to the finals 2 years in a row. And that's just a hell of a lot of talent.
Absolutely. They've got 3 Olympian guards in their backcourt. You can't get better than that. I'm just looking forward to learning from them and trying to gain every tip that I possibly can from those players. And just learn from them all year and, just try and do my role and do whatever I need to do to help the team win.
It's a little bit of a tough question to put you on the spot with, but, this past draft, they went out, they take Lindsey Moore in the first round, then they take Chucky Jeffrey, another guard, and in addition, they did lose Wiggins and they did lose Thorne, so there's 2 guards, spots that are open, but does it make you a little bit more nervous that they're bringing in these other draft choices to compete with you?
I'm more so focused on myself and just going in confidently with what I do and what I do well, and not so much worried about, the other draft picks that they chose. Everybody's got talent at this level and in the WNBA, and everybody brings something a little different. And I'm just hoping that, what they need is what I have. So I'm more so, focused on myself and doing the best that I possibly can in camp.
you know, this morning I got up and I put on the news and I'm looking, and it's snowing like hell in Minnesota. So yeah. what's a Cali girl gonna get adjusted to packing a snow coat with you?
You know what's funny is I just packed all my stuff and I don't even have a snow coat, so I just kind of packed a bunch of sweatshirts and sweats and stuff, and I actually was able to go out there about a month ago and train and do some workouts and stuff with Coach Reeves and Lindsay Whalen was there and Deborah O'Peters, so I kind of got a little bit acclimated to Minnesota. It was snowing at the time a little bit. It was really cold, so I definitely got a feel for it. So it wasn't something I was used to, but I think I can handle it. I'll just stay, be inside a lot and be in the gym pretty much the whole time.
And so you get, you know, take that shuttle straight from the gym to the mall back to the hotel, right?
Exactly. That's it.
Now, you mentioned that you had a chance to work out a little bit up there. Mm-hmm. Coach Reeve is one of my favorite coaches in the league. I think I love the honesty and straightforward approach she has to the game, and she expects nothing less than the best from everybody. So, now, you've had a few different coaches in your career, both on the USA and on the collegiate level. What's your first impressions on Coach Cheryl Reeve?
Pretty much exactly what you just said. You know, I think she's very straightforward and very honest, and you know, she expects certain things from her players, and she expects nothing less than what, you know, she wants. And I think that's great, and I think that's, you know, the best coach to have is someone that tells you exactly what you want, you or exactly what they want, and you do it. And if you don't do it, then there's consequences. So I like her a lot, and I had a really good time out there a few weeks ago, and I'm just looking forward to learn from her and just, you know, really, really build a good relationship with her.
You know, one thing, you know, a shooter with your skills, one thing that this team has is between Devereaux Peters, who you mentioned, Rebecca Brunson, and now the addition of Janelle McCarville, they have some of the hardest screen setters I have ever seen in a pro uniform. So you're certainly going to get those screens to run off of.
Absolutely. That's all a guard can ask for, someone solid that can set a great screen. And I'm sure, you know, the post, all they want is a guard that can pass well. So, you know, I think that everybody kind of complements each other, and I think this team is going to be really special this year.
Now, this past winter, you got into some other aspects of basketball as well while you were doing your recovery. Let's talk for a second about that. I understand that you were involved in the business side of things a bit.
Yeah, a little bit. I mean, obviously my main focus was recovering and rehab and strength and conditioning and kind of getting myself back in shape. But, I did a couple things. My agent, Allison Gaylor, kind of opened up a new door for me and taught me a lot of different things. And, we've been doing a couple things. It's been a lot of fun.
Now, when you get out to Minnesota, you know, you've got Lindsay Whalen, you mentioned, you got Maya Moore, and we've talked about some of the others. So, you know, your primary responsibility, you know, is it to feed? Do you look at it as being just filling a role as being a more of a passer than a scorer, being a scorer on this? You know, what did Coach Reeve, other than telling you that you're going to play defense, what did she tell you that you're going to have to expected to do out there?
I think that I'm going to be expected to, you know, stretch the defense a little bit, be able to hit the three when I'm open. Don't be afraid to shoot. Don't be hesitant. Don't come in, you know, with a lack of confidence. And I need to, you know, get to camp and act like I belong there and know that I belong there. You know, hit the open three, be a great teammate, hit the open man. I think personally my best asset to my game is finding the open man, you know, off a pick and roll. So, you know, I have the best players in the world to pass to around me. That's something I've never had. So that's really exciting for me, and I'm really, really looking forward to that.
I hope you're not running any stoplights to get to the airport after hearing those sirens in the background.
Well, this is Los Angeles. You hear sirens pretty much on every corner. So sorry about that.
Yeah, you know, Jack, one question I did want to ask you about, you know, coming from Southern Cal, you know, it seemed after his success in the WNBA, it seemed like the Michael Cooper experience failed to generate what was anticipated for success. Where do you think things didn't quite fit with that? There were always seemed like there was a lot of talent on your teams, you know, when you were healthy and when you were not healthy as well. But it never seemed to quite gel there.
Yeah, you know, it's something I think that all of us these past few years have kind of questioned and asked ourselves. I don't think it's been, you know, so much a coaching issue. I think that, you know, for whatever the reason is, it just nothing seemed to click and nothing seemed to work together, whether it was the girls that were on the floor, whether it was the girls with the coaching, different coaching staffs. You know, it's just something that hasn't really worked out for USC. And I, you know, I think that, you know, the new coaching staff now, Sadiq Cooper, it's a different look now. So hopefully that's our answer. And hopefully that, you know, kind of turns our program around like we've been wanting for these past few years.
Yeah, I mean, because with the exception of Stanford, I would say that you guys probably have more people in WNBA camps right now than anybody else out there.
Yeah, absolutely. Definitely talent comes to USC, and I think talent wants to kind of turn the program around, you know, and we're just kind of waiting for that. And there's some good players, you know, currently at USC as well right now, too, good talent. Like I said, I think once the pieces are put together, the right coaching staff and the right players together, it's going to happen for us.
Well, getting back on track and talking back about the present and the future. So, you know, what is the toughest thing for you to overcome going into this camp? You know, physically you've been through this before, mentally you've been through this before. Knowing yourself the way that you do, you know, where do you anticipate your biggest battles to be this camp?
I think that, you know, camp, it's a very up and down process, and, you know, you'll have good days, or you'll have a good day, a great day, and then the next day you'll have a crappy day. And I just think for me it's just staying consistent and staying mentally strong, because you know, it's going to be a long process, and it's something that every girl is out there fighting for, and every girl is out there trying to reach the same outcome. Everybody wants to make the team, so it's kind of a dogfight, you know. And I think for me, my biggest challenge will be to just stay confident throughout the whole thing and never let, you know, one day or a certain play bring me down and make me have a bad, you know, a bad camp. I just want to stay consistent and as level-headed as possible.
With the history of injuries that you've had, does that mean that in the off season Europe is probably out of the picture, that you're going to need to take some downtime, or do you anticipate going overseas?
Yeah, no, I'm actually looking, you know, to play overseas after the WNBA season. Yeah, I don't know if it would be a consistent thing where, you know, it would be every single year, but definitely this next season, I'm looking to go play overseas.
Excellent. Well, Jackie, I want to wish you good luck in Minnesota. I want you to stay warm, and I want you to not spend too much of that rookie salary at the Mall of America.
Yeah, I know. That's what I keep hearing. I got to stay away from that place.
Well, you know, I want to thanks for you for coming back on Dishing and Swishing, and you know, I know it's going to be an exciting and fun camp there. There's some incredible talent, both the veterans, the newcomers, and the rookies. I mean, it's really going to be competitive for a spot in Minnesota this year.
Absolutely. Well, thank you so much for having me, and maybe I'll talk to you soon.
Go Lakes.
All right, thank you. This is Jackie Jamelis, and you're listening to Dishin' and Swishin'.
Hi, everybody. This is David Siegel on this week's Dishin' and Swishin' podcast on hoopfeed.com. And as we mentioned earlier, we're talking a little bit about redemption and returning from injury and getting that chance to get back on the court and the struggle that it is to sometimes overcome. And now you heard from the youngster, Jackie Jamelos, earlier, and now we're talking to the veteran who has been through this, unfortunately, a couple of times, but is ready to report to Indiana Fever Camp. And Shira Eli Gash joins me now. Shira, how are you today?
I'm well, thank you.
Shira, you know, it must have been a little bit bittersweet last year watching the Fever finally get that elusive title for Tamika, you know, where you didn't have the opportunity, unfortunately, to be a part of it due to your injuries.
You know, people have labeled it bittersweet, but I don't really look at it that way. I've worked with those women and men firsthand, so I know how hard they work, and I know that they are very deserving. And so I would never want to deny someone's blessing or, you know, that championship. They earned it, and they deserve it. I'm very happy for Tamika Catchings. No one deserves it more. It's a great staff, a great organization, and I just, you know, I'm very happy for them. And I'm just, you know, thankful for another opportunity to be back in Indiana, and hopefully we have a chance to repeat.
Well, it's clear that they stand by you, and that, you know, we've known the Fever to be a class act before. Excuse me. And, you know, certainly they're proving it out now. You're coming back into camp. Now, for people that don't know about your history, can you talk for a little bit about, you know, the injuries that you've overcome?
Yeah. In 2010, I ruptured my patella tendon in April. And then almost 2 years to the day, I tore my ACL just a few days before training camp, actually right there on the Fever practice court. So, you know, it sounds cliche, but everything does happen for a reason, and I've grown so much spiritually, physically, emotionally, and I feel like I'm in a much better place mentally, and, you know, what's for me is for me, and I'm ready for whatever's ahead.
Well, it's certainly going to be a competitive camp. There was no question that one of the things that helped the Fever succeed last year was their depth. So there's a lot of extremely talented players there. So I know that Coach Dunn is going to have one heck of a camp going.
Always. You know, this will be my third camp, even though I wasn't able to participate. Last year I still was around the organization for the whole year. So, it's always competitive. And that, you know, when the man's everything out of us, and we have a great work ethic and great fundamentals and a sound foundation as far as, you know, what type of team the Fever want to be, and especially, you know, now winning the championship in 2012, that bullseye is even bigger, and so we'll have to work even much, you know, that much harder. And so, you know, we have a quote up in our locker room right now that says, "To whom much is given, much is required." So that'll definitely probably be, you know, fueling a lot of us this training camp.
Now, you've been in the league for a while now. You know, you've played with a few different teams. And, you know, one of the things that is going to be very interesting this year is the league continual evolution of the athlete. And you look at the new people that have come in, and I'm not just talking about, you know, Diggins, Deladon, and, of course, Griner, but, you know, even some of the other rookies and the young veterans that came in last year, you know, are just so much more athletic than the league was, you know, when you first came out of school even.
Absolutely. I mean, I think one thing is just naturally, I think, you know, women are really just becoming more, you know, we're just naturally more athletic. And today with just, you know, strength and conditioning and what we know now as far as fitness, I think they just put us in a better position to perform at a higher level. And, you know, I'm really excited because I think, you know, it definitely brings parity to our game and competition. It makes our, you know, our game much more fun to watch. And, you know, we present, you know, some kind of entertainment value. And definitely with the addition of, you know, Skylar Diggins and Deladon and Brittany Griner, I think that can only help our league.
Not a bad thing that Griner went out to the west of it, Western Division, though, not the East.
I'm happy with that. I don't want to see her all, you know, all season. But, no, I think it's great. And I think that, you know, this, she'll be on a different, you know, this is the best, you know, women's league in the world. And, even though, you know, she dominated in the collegiate ranks, you know, it's not going to be a cakewalk in the WNBA, you know. We're going to make her work, and I think it's only going to make her better. And I really like watching her and seeing her game evolve and seeing how she's been able to improve over the years and extend her range and soften her touch and everything like that. So, you know, her future is crazy bright.
Well, it'll be certainly interesting to see. But, you know, I do recall during when they were having one of those press conferences talking about the new logo and everything else, that there was some tweeting going on from your guys' center, Elena Larkin, saying, "Ah, she's too skinny. I've seen them put rookies up there before. We got too many veterans that can take care of business." So I think there's definitely going to be some people out there, including players on your own team, that are not going to just say, "Okay, we're done."
Oh, no. No one, listen, you know, we are competitors. I'm a competitor myself. So I won't lay down anybody. I don't care who you are. And I think that's, you know, that's probably the attitude of the majority of the women in this league. So while we're excited to have her in the league, like, you know, we still have to welcome her to the WNBA and understand what I'm saying.
That's it. Well, one of the things that has always impressed me about your game is the fact that, you know, you came out of school, you know, playing – you know, one style of game, and you've really taken your game and tweaked it and evolved it. So you're now, you know, so much more of a face-up type of player as well, and added that diversity. And that's one of the things that I just love about the evolution of this game.
Me too. I really like that as well. I played before. That's my bread and butter. You know, the post game is my bread and butter. But, you know, as I transitioned into the WNBA, I realized that I was going to have to, you know, add some versatility to my game. And so extending my range and working on my ball handling and just adding that kind of that guard aspect to my game, I think has contributed to my longevity in the league and why, you know, I've been able to just be that utility player. Wherever they need me, I can play. And whoever they need me to guard, I can guard. You know, some people look, you know, not necessarily look down on tweeners, but I'm actually – proud to be a tweener because I feel like I can, you know, that's what will keep me on a team or on the floor at any point.
Well, one of the things I think that was missing a little bit last year with the Fever was with the move of Tamika to the four, the Fever started to go with a smaller fourth, so you would fit in perfectly as that other complement to Tamika playing that type of game when they didn't have anybody else that really could step in and play that face up for.
Definitely. I definitely think that's probably one of my biggest strengths is being able, I'm probably quicker than any post that's going to guard me and, you know, just maybe stronger than any, you know, guard in some cases. So the fact that I can face up and that I have a quick step and I can get to the basket and I can shoot the 15-footer or the three-pointer, I would love to have that, you know, on display and available to any, you know, to the viewer or anybody. So, but at the same time, you know, I have to go in here and I have to make this team, and I'm not out of the woods yet. Like, I have a lot of work to do.
Oh, absolutely. There's great talent in that camp, no question about it. Now, for you, as someone who has already overcome, you know, with the patella injury, what is it that you anticipate? What is the hardest thing for you to overcome when you get into camp? You know, I mean, at this point, I'm sure that the physical is fine, the mental you've been through. You know, what is it, just a matter of saying, I got to just go in there and be consistent, or is the injury still a factor somewhat in your mind?
Let's see. It's definitely, if there is an issue, I would say it was definitely mental. And because, you know, I had a pretty, you know, gruesome injury with my patella, and that rehab was pretty extensive and it's pretty tough, and so I felt like after that I could pretty much do anything. And relatively speaking, my ACL rehab compared to my patella tendon rehab was cake. You know, I knew as far as the physical part of it, I knew that was going to be a cakewalk, and I can get back to, you know, being in a top, you know, professional shape. And so what challenged me most is just the mental part of it, just trusting my body, trusting my knee. And it's one thing to get hurt you know, in a play when you're playing with people and you're in the mix of the game, but it's another thing to actually to get hurt with no one around you doing a move that you do by yourself any other, you know, any time. So that it definitely messes with your psyche, but I'm healed, and that's what I just, you know, continue to tell myself, that my knee is healed and this is what I love to do. And yeah, you just have to go out there and play. And it definitely is different, because when I was injured with my patella tendon, I just jumped right into it, no problem. But I will say that with my ACL, it took me a little while just to, you know, kind of get over anticipating contact and seeing plays that are out of control. I still had that kind of cringe when I saw, you know, like, you know, people diving for balls or just, you know, weird, awkward plays. Like, it still kind of, you know, would kind of mess up my mind. But now, just with repetition and, you know, just more time on the court, it goes away. And it pretty much has. Like, I'm not going into camp thinking about my injury in my mind and in everyone else's mind. I would hope I'm healed and I'm healthy. Like, I'm ready to go.
Now, the other thing, though, a couple of years ago when we talked last, you know, mm-hmm. I seem to recall that you were just getting started with this business.
Yes.
And now, from what I keep seeing and hearing, we've got quite a sideline, not even a sideline anymore. Now it's almost like basketball is a sideline compared to the fashion business.
Well, you know, I'm very spiritual, so I just, you know, I praise God for just how he works and being able, you know, having something that I love taking away and then at the same time being able to channel that energy into something else that I love. So while I lost one thing, I was able to, you know, nurture and build my business and prepare for life after basketball, because I know probably better than some others that in, you know, 1 second it can be gone. So, yeah, thankfully I've been pretty busy with my styling business, and I've been building and growing and expanding, and now I'll have to kind of put that in my back pocket and focus on basketball, my love and what I want to do right now. So I'm okay with that. I'll continue to style, but on a much smaller scale. I definitely won't take on as many clients, and I'm trying to get everything finished here in the next few days so I can just have some time to just completely focus on training camp and basketball.
So who is your favorite client to work with right now?
You can't make me single on that.
who are a few of your favorite clients?
Okay, a few. Well,
and
of course,
and it's not meant to be an. I'll even cover for you even more. It's not meant to be an all-inclusive list of your favorites. Just some of them.
Okay. Well, I mean, number one, I'd have to go with Nikki Caldwell, my muse. Like, she's the first one to take a chance on me and just say, you know, you have a talent, you have a gift. Let's see what we can do. And I mean, she just. It's not even a job. It's not even hard. She's so beautiful. She makes anything and everything look great. And I just really love working with her, because she just lets me do whatever I want to do. She trusts me completely, and I can just, she'll just go with it. And she nails everything. I'm really getting interested in the men's fashion. And so I'd love to pick up my first, like, male client or male coach so I can, you know, see what is there. But I have some, like, WNBA clients that I work with. I work with Natasha Lacey. Let's see. Most recently, I've worked with her. Tasha Butts, of course. I'll be working with Chantel Anderson a little bit. Let's see. These are all people. I mean, I have more clients, but there's some clients that aren't as open with, you know,
sure.
having a stylist and, you know,
no problem. Yeah,
but,
I understand. Can you take on a client that isn't beautiful? I mean, look at these people. You're just enhanced.
I mean, like, that's the thing. There is definitely a misconception, I think, that the term stylist is intimidating. And it's so much more than that. It's about, you know, your time. You know, some people hate to shop. Some people don't know how to shop. Some people have clothes and don't know how to put things together. And I do closet organization. I do a lot of different services. So And it's not about, I named off a lot of different people, but those are the people that it's mostly about enhancing style, your own personal style, rather than trying to make you something that you're not. So
for some reason, I don't see Chantel Anderson and Natasha Lacey wearing the same clothes.
Nope, you won't see that at all.
Well, congratulations on making this so successful, and also for the tremendous work ethic that has gone into both making a business a success and rehabbing an injury like that and getting ready to get back on the court.
Thank you very much.
There is no question that, you know, you are a success in both of these areas, and we're looking forward to seeing you on the WNBA court this summer.
Thank you so much. I'm looking forward to playing again. It's definitely a blessing, and, you definitely appreciate the little things, and you don't take so much for granted anymore once you've gone down twice. So I'll play every day like it's my last, and I'm looking forward to it.
Well, you know, they've already got some, so now you've got to go out and you got to get that little accessory for the finger that some of these other girls got.
Yes, I do. That's the goal.
You take care. Good luck in camp, and we'll talk to you again soon.
Thanks, David.